show. It's Friday night. I've had a curry. We've got the week's tech to discuss. I've got a fantastic panel. The best bit of the news tonight so far is I got some chocolates from the curry house.
And I got knew they'd be golden.
And I got a mute switch so I can eat them without anyone hearing. I just want to point out that someone wrote and complained about the background noise of me scoffing stuff, pouring drinks and snorting. And I've got a mute switch because I 80 quid this cost
me. It's just like we're all in the same
yeah.
room.
Exactly.
Chatting over drinks.
Don't do that.
You don't go to the pub and complain about people next to you being too loud, do you?
Oh, that's exactly right. Mates down the pub. Here we go. Too right, Steve. I said, I'm going to take this back and get my money back. Joining me to discuss the week in tech. It's a great bunch. Starting off, chairman of the Mac User Group in London, Steve Nabar.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good, pal. You?
I'm not too bad. How's your week been?
It's been all right. Early starts. Lots of... I have no idea what's making that noise. There we go. Let's try that. It's been early starts and tiring finishes, apart from last night when I talked to someone that I thought I could trust who obviously I couldn't.
But there's... I think you're just trying to wind people up with noises in the background for those that have complained about your noisy eating and drink making.
Well, there'd have been cheaper ways of doing it than buying a stand. Because I had to buy a little adapter as well for the stand because my mic didn't fit the stand.
Possibly.
What were you doing then exactly?
I was rubbing my leg and I noticed myself.
It's a good stand, dude, but it's not that good.
Well, no, if you listen to the audio, I had an itch and I was rubbing my leg and I saw myself in the screen and the video and I was hopping up and down like a mad thing and it looked like
it was a really good stand. Next to him, who's next? I had to pause there because I don't know who's next. It's Jeffrey. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing all right. And look, I've even combed my hair this time.
New place.
Yes, welcome to the new TMO Central Tower.
Excellent. Looking spangly and dandy and gorgeous in the background. Is that a kitchen back there? Or?
Oh, yes, you can see the kitchen back there.
Woo, cool.
Yeah, we can actually eat in the new offices.
Superb, mate. Excellent. It's not an office, it's your home, right? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but now you're ruining the illusion.
Okay, sorry, pal. Sorry.
I hope you're happy.
Oh, I didn't mean to. I just give me a pooper. And then in the bottom right-hand corner, with deliberate space to his left, Isla Sinclair. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, Isla Sinclair, thanks very much.
Give over, Madden. now then, there is space to your left because...
It's to show my cool thingy later.
And we have a title.
Well, what is it? The Titanic.
I can't give you a bottle opener so I could start drinking.
I can't give you any more info just yet.
Right, there you go. If you're listening to the podcast or watching on audio, a video, wait till Gaz gets it out later.
That's it.
Last but by no means least,
I'm a ginger.
The Ace Reviewer.
No, sir.
I've tried to get us some NF Arcos today for Prodrenaline, mate, because it's come out for Mac. And I wanted to send one to you. You deserve it. How you doing, bud?
All right, mate. How are you?
Paulums. What's been happening this week then, mate? Have you had a calmer week this week or is still...
I've had a really good week.
That's a first.
Yeah. No, lots of management-y type things, but, you know, finished the week feeling like I'm on top of stuff. So it's good. And I'm back on the reviews as well. So I'm
excellent.
A bit chuffed.
Yeah, good man. Excellent stuff. Logins for remote access for Microsoft this time.
That's pretty sweet, actually.
Really? You liked it?
Yeah, it's. I've tried loads of kind of like cheap ones and free ones and paid ones. And this actually, as I've said in the review, that they developed for their direct competition, which is a good thing. But
it's a Microsoft piece of software, isn't it?
And Mac remote desktop is really good.
Excellent. Really, really good. The week in technology, what's been going on? Well, some scientists at MIT have developed a thermo bracelet that will compensate and control your temperature and make you feel more comfortable. So just like you'd put a cold flannel on your forehead to cool you down, then you can get these bracelets that will release temperature or contract temperature and make you feel so much better.
That would make me feel hotter.
I was going to say, Linda Carter was very good at controlling temperature in the 70s.
There's an awful... howdy.
Oh, there's a lot of schoolboys got hot under the collar because she was on TV. No question.
That's Wonder Woman.
That's right. Sorry. If you don't know who Linda Carter is, come on.
I didn't know. I know who Wonder Woman is, obviously, but not.
Oh, right. Linda Carter, mate. She was a Miss World, wasn't she? 1972 or something like that?
And before the night out, I'm sure we will get a picture of her in the modern age.
She's like 90 now, suddenly. No, she can't be. We'll find that. Chat room, you're on it. Picture of Linda Carter today. I want it yesterday.
In the same outfit.
In the same outfit. The gold bits are a bit lower than before.
Hey, don't ruin the illusion for me.
No. Mate, there's a lot of people have accused me of being locked in the 70s.
She's 90.
No, she's not 90, I don't think. She's probably 70. Windows 8.1 was out today, and apparently it's not bad if you've actually got it to download, because the servers were a bit crammed, and I was watching Barry Collins tweeting out saying that yesterday and today it was painful trying to upgrade to 8.1. So if you like it, then fair enough. If you're into your alternate software, do be aware, VirtualBox 4.3 is out. Now, if you haven't tried VirtualBox and run another free operating system or even Windows on it, it's friggin' excellent. If you're buying Parallels and stuff like that, Parallels great, Coherence Mode, all those kind of things, wonderful. But VirtualBox is free from Sun Systems, and it's bloody good. Get a version of that running with Ubuntu on it or another Linux distro, and you're very happy. Sleep cleanses the brain, according to some science that's been released this week. Cleanses to the degree of cleansing we can only suspect, but I've met some people that after they've slept they need retraining, most definitely.
Great story.
It is. I love the picture of Sleeping Beauty, mate.
But hey, what? Wonder Woman right now, she's lovely.
Really? You got a link?
Yeah, she's great. On the chat room, we're coming straight back.
All right, link in the chat room and I shall reshow it in a second. There was a story this week that was put up about it was a discussion group story about why Java has kept itself going. Why is Java still alive and well? Because it's actually not a very good language or anything to write in at all. And someone wrote some stuff. It's not because Oracle does a good job patching security faults with it, and it's not because it may be too able to run on not it may be able to run on most of the all of its code on any given OS. I should have started that again. The reason Java's still alive and well is because the OO language most schools, universities, and colleges teach their CS classes. Which isn't a story at all, it's crap. But what I love is the bitch fight that goes on in the comments afterwards. Maybe you're not old enough to remember Pascal, which was the overwhelming favourite of colleges and schools back in the late 80s and 90s.
Pascal was almost as good as Fortran.
Next comment. Nowhere. Pascal, Turbo Pascal, Delphi, Object Pascal, nowhere. I did professional Delphi development for roughly 10 years. The next one says, I'll see you Turing and raise you a module 2, a language that I've never heard of in any context beyond those two introductions. Well, if you had to learn binary in the late 70s, I wouldn't have been so turned off by computers that I never got back into them. It's on, you've got to go slash.org, but it goes on. There's pages and pages of it. I'm never going to be able to read it. But it is geek bitchiness to the nth degree.
So some of the comments are actually the best read in some of these.
Yeah, absolutely. My code's always
if there's comments, always have a quick look because they can be really fun.
My code's blacker than yours all the way through.
I had some good conversation on computers and how they've changed through the times, because I went out with some ladies who may be maybe late 60s or so at the beginning of the week, and we were talking about computers, and I was really bigging them up because I really feel they've helped me in my development, because they've helped me realise when I was playing computer games on Spectrum and Commodore when I was growing up, it was like, how do I get from A to B? And there was different ranges and different ways of doing it. And I was think how I could do it. And it's really started with this mind thinking thing of how I can do it. And it was challenging. And it was kind of, yes, but you can grab the grass and turn it into your sledge. Or you can suddenly go fast because if you press this button and that button, it shows you can do stuff. However, now the view of kids and computers are, you just watch TV on them. Or you just watch iPlayer, or you just watch the TV, and that's what you use computers for now. So that whole generation that I've gone through in terms of it's improved my thinking ability, because you each year a new computer came out and it made you think how better I can move the game and the graphics are better. Oh, now they've done 3D, therefore it's more challenging. That's all just now lost, because kids now just think, I could just watch TV, or yeah, I can just pull the Angry Bird a bit harder. It's they've lost a little bit. Is of kind code? Of their...
Pulling the Angry Bird a bit harder is another show title right there. I'm glad you finished that off as well, because that was a really good point, Steve. But midway through that, I was thinking, he's been on more than alcohol.
No.
I'm joking. I know I'm joking. You know I'm joking. Everyone knows I'm joking. Ah, there we go. And Windows XP is going to continue to be supported by Google. Apparently, their browser, the Chrome browser, they're not prepared to switch off the support for it yet. So, despite the fact that Microsoft's going to finish, Google has officially announced they will support their browser in Microsoft XP at least to 2015. Nokia has, the ex-designer at Nokia has had a go about Apple having separate interfaces for charging and that kind of stuff. But I want to come back to, because I think there's a good conversation in that. And the last one, which is the best story of the week for me, is that Volvo has decided to turn its carbon fibre skins into nanobatteries. So effectively, the shell of your car will be a large battery, which I think is good.
That's really cool.
That is pretty cool, isn't it? You're driving around in a battery. Who's going to start us off then? Give us a story, somebody.
Underwater Wi-Fi.
I may not regret this. Go ahead, mate.
No, you won't regret it. You won't regret it, because initially I thought exactly the same as you when I saw this story. Underwater Wi-Fi given a test run to create deep sea internet. Okay. Madness. Complete madness, I thought. But actually, researchers have tested underwater Wi-Fi network in a lake in an attempt to make deep sea internet. Now, basically, what they're doing with this, apparently this has been going on for a little while, but because of the different organizations that are attempting it, there's no compatibility between them. Now, you're thinking, why do I need Wi-Fi under the water, under the sea? I'm not, you know, it's not a place that we often go to, is it? Really?
No, fair point.
But actually, what they're talking about is the fact that this could be used to detect tsunamis. And it could then be used to obviously give out information and warn people in the relevant places that are in danger of obviously being hit by those tsunamis.
You'll forgive my scepticism here, Gaz, but I can't get my computer to suss out whether it can get on the network at Pret. How the hell is it going to get a tsunami?
It's more about the obviously the sound waves, or you know, under the sea, that you know it's not sound waves. I think it's is it sound waves they use under the water?
Mm.
Yeah, it's sound waves rather than obviously radio waves. It's sound waves that they're using, and apparently that is much more efficient underwater. And they're going to use that with sensors, but they're actually using the sound waves to you know send the connection rather than having wires and sensors. They're actually using the sound waves. So it's like an undersea Wi-Fi. So initially I thought, what the hell? I am not going to ever use this, but it's actually a little bit more practical for detection of tsunamis, et cetera, et cetera. It's being checked out by the US Navy.
I like the way you accuse me of drinking, but I think Gaz has been smoking something.
Yeah, I have actually. This is a serious story.
It's the new underground network. Yeah. It's where your torrent sites are going to be now.
I just love the site. I just love the heading deep sea internet. I thought that was brilliant. So you know, it's tech. It's got a serious side. Honest.
But can you actually get the internet on it?
No,
you can't. So
that's the point. It's a bit misleading, but they are trying to actually create a network, a standardized network, so that they can all... At the moment, there are detectors, you know, sending sound waves to each other, but nobody can talk to each other. So they're trying to create a standardized acceptance of the sound waves. So, you know, like the radio waves in a certain format and megahertz. They're trying to get all of that set up so that
it's a bit like a smoke detector, isn't it?
It's a very it's quite an advanced smoke detector,
underwater smoke detector.
Yeah, let me put. I'll put the link into the show note. Into the
Don't worry.
Not in the show notes. Into the chat. Into the chat room. No, they really want to know about it.
Okay. All right. I know dolphins are intelligent, but that's taking the piss, says Batwing.
I want to see the first tweet from a dolphin.
Could the Wi-Fi be used for Finding Nemo? And maybe the Kraken needs to check his Gmail account. The thing is, I've been a little bit dyslexic. I mixed those two lines up and I got maybe the Kraken can find Nemo, but there you go. Excellent story, Gaz.
I liked it. It made me laugh.
Fantastic. My one is the Nokia one, because there's a guy that's the ex-designer at Nokia. I'm trying to find his name quickly. But he's had a real old pop at Apple, saying that Apple is not really joining the party as far as proprietary connections are going and charges and that kind of stuff, and they should not continue to ignore micro USB.
USB is crap.
Well, that was going to be the discussion, though. Maybe we're not going to have much of a discussion after all, but I was sitting reading that thinking, no, actually, because if you look at... I've gone to micro USB with my Nokia now, and I've got to say, of all the things that... If there's one thing I had to pick that I hated about it, it's the fact that I don't know which way the connector is. And also, one of the things that's bad with mini USB and micro USB is eventually, because of the way it's created, you actually end up flattening the connectors, and then you don't get a tight fit on the connector. And it's in the device, so you've knackered it. That's it. It's the end of it. I mean, should Apple be brought into line over this or not? Because I've got to say, my fundamental feeling is not, because a lot of their connectors are actually a damn sight better than the universal stuff that's out there.
That's the point, isn't it? Their connectors are a lot better, because I've just moved to Lightning on my iPad mini and my iPhone 5, and that's such a good fit, isn't it? And it just works either way, and I'm glad that all my devices, and they have the same connector. Micro USB that I've used in the past is, like you say, it's a bit crap, isn't it? It's a bit kind of 1990s, really.
But the good thing about it is you can get it. If you forget your charger cable in a hotel, you can get it from the bar or whatever. They'll give you a spare one. Whereas the Apple one, you can't really kind of get people to give to you over a bar.
No, I bought a Lightning charging cable in Poundland the other day. So they're about.
Did you?
You bought a Lightning cable in Poundland. Did you get the warning message up that says, caution, data corruption may occur?
That was the one I tweeted. Fire. That's the one. But it works. It charges.
Yeah, does it? Will it burn? It
charges my iPad, yeah.
No, but don't, if you take that to an Apple store now, they'll give you a new one.
Yes, I'll give you £10 off a new connector. So you go and buy one for a quid, go in and get £10 off a brand new one.
You're joking?
Yeah.
If you buy a third party charger, go into an Apple store and go, it's like an amnesty, and go, oh no, I don't like this. So I can go into town tomorrow, buy a pound worth of Lightning cable, go into the Apple store, get £10 off the special charger.
An amnesty? You're going to run amok in the high street with a Lightning connector?
I'll tell you what, I'm actually doing it tomorrow. Do you want me to film it? I'll do it.
It was because of the incident in China, wasn't it, with the third party charger where the woman got electrocuted.
Right.
So, I'm surprised they're still doing it, actually. So,
well, we'll find out tomorrow
Apple
that they're
keep
not
doing that for a while.
They're just
going to keep it as an open-ended.
Well, they're probably getting. I mean, if their connectors are probably 25 quid for a standard charge, isn't it, for any Apple lead? So they're probably making 15 quid on that because they're giving you a tenner off, and they're still making 70% on it.
But eBay wouldn't exist without Apple chargers, would it? Really?
But doesn't the Apple TV have a micro USB connector?
No, it's mini.
Yeah,
it's a mini, is it?
I think it's mini.
Damn, that ruins my argument.
The new HP Chromebook charges by micro USB now, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. It does. You don't need an external brick.
So that is actually quite handy, I guess.
You could plug it into your laptop. Yeah. You could charge your laptop off your laptop. Hey, could you do a loop there? off one USB into the power input. Utterly frigate.
Perpetual power.
Yeah,
just
that would
don't cross the streams.
Yes.
Yeah, total protonic reversal.
Perfect. No worries at all. No, I mean, should Apple change or not then?
No.
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 Look, isn't the argument just about charging, though, isn't it? Because the official Lightning cable does a lot more than charge, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's about the ability to get charge into the device, but they would say that they go to USB because their Lightning connector goes to USB. So, but the idea was to cut down on the amount of bricks and chargers that were made, wasn't it? Which Apple have done because they charge off a USB block. Any USB cable will work in it.
I think, as long as you've got a USB, it's ubiquitous, isn't it? Now, the standard USB connection is
I don't think this would have been the story 2 years ago, so because everyone had the 32-pin adapter, the Apple thing.
Yeah.
It's only really a story at the moment because everyone's going through that whole flux of change of the new adapter, the Lightning.
I think the only thing that I've found, the thing that I found with the Nokia is that they do an induction charger that you just lay your phone on and it charges up with, you've got the back on it. And it one of the things that's negative about that is the actual connection is like a little tiny centre pole thing that plugs into a proprietary adapter that then goes into a proprietary little bed. So it's still not charging off micro USB, although the device itself charges off micro USB. The actual connector that gives you the wireless charging stuff is all proprietary.
That's the point, though, isn't it? They've got to have that micro USB. If they've got some sort of connection, that makes them get away with it.
Yeah, if I lose their brick, then I can't have induction charging anymore. I tried actually tonight to put it. I've got a Mobi thing for me for the Mac Pro, the charging induction charging thing for the Magic Mouse, and I tried putting my phone on that, and the red light blinked. I don't know what I've done.
Oh, I have one of those. I love it.
Yeah, no, I love the mouse because it does the remote charging thing. Just put it on at the end of the night and away you go. But I put my Nokia phone on the Magic Mouse charger and the red light started blinking. So,
did you get the camera grip for the Nokia
I did, and it's great. I mean, it gives you a huge amount extra on battery and it's really nice to take a photo with it. As well.
If you ever see him, you can see him walking down the street because he's got a big bulge in his pocket.
And then he gets the camera.
Is that the camera grip in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see me? Thank you. There you go. That was my story. One of them, anyway.
So are you using the inductive charger every night or every day?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good. You just walk in, you just put it on the little pad, and away you go. It's done. It just goes pling, and it starts charging. But the one thing you've got to be careful of is don't put it down on your wife's charger when she switched it off at the socket because she's sensible and remembers to switch it on. Because although it's an induction charger, it's a deduction charger if the power socket's not on. So I have come down in the morning and there's absolutely all battery life left in me phone.
Ah.
It saps it rather than just not charging it. It's negative rather than positive. The 820's got induction charging built in, says Mr. Batwinch. Yes, it has.
So it sucks rather than blows.
Yes. It doesn't suck. It's a good thing. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
Is there anything wrong with that?
Moving on. I don't want to have to bleep this week, steady. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate?
How about a Kickstarter project?
Oh, go on.
For turning live cockroaches into robots.
What's not right about that?
God. Okay, so the deal is, let me grab a link. I'll drop it into the chat room right now.
We need pictures. I absolutely agree. We need pictures.
There you go. Okay, so the deal is, this team has figured out how to put together this little transmitter thing that I guess you glue to the back of a cockroach, and then it has these little connectors that attach to his little cockroach antennas. And then you use an iPhone to remotely control the cockroach. And you're sending the signals into the cockroach. It just has to do whatever you want it to do. You can't not do it.
No.
Have you seen Robo-Roach? It's brilliant. Yeah.
I can't swear. I don't want to swear. I haven't got time to edit this weekend.
You can't be serious.
Dude, I was a play. There's a video.
There's a video of me driving a cockroach.
I just think it's awesome.
The robo roach. What do you do? Does this thing reach down and pull on its antlers or something, like a set of reins? And
yeah, no, yeah, it has little I guess roach clips that attach to its antenna, and it sends a signals that right into its brain and makes it do whatever you want. Yeah.
Inspired with the magnifying glass.
Yeah. If you're watching the video, what it seems to indicate.
Oh, look at the poor little sucker. They're swiping left and right in the cockroach. He's like, no, I want to go off the edge of the table. I'd rather die.
Oh, Jeff, I'm carrying this great big thing on my back.
It uses the antler things, the antenna, and it passes electrical current through them. You sick fucks!
Now you have to edit.
Oh, what's hang on? 53 minutes.
Did I connect it to our Bluetooth? Yeah, they connected to our Bluetooth.
It's a Bluetooth cockroach.
And I love the fact they got the school children to have a go.
Can they send it music?
No. Oh no! Look at the size on that one.
Dance, sucker, dance!
It's got the little unit on its back's like four times the size of it.
And they said that the early prototypes worked, but they were too heavy.
No kidding!
It's custom.
Brilliant.
From Brainless Toys.
How appropriate!
Like it.
It's glued on with hot glue. They've installed running lights on it.
It's just an indicator, that's all.
Well, there goes his stealth. They're making him go faster. They're adjusting the speed.
No, but this is just the first stage of proper human control from the iPhone. Those people in the office that you want to control, just stick a little helmet on them and you control them.
What I love about that is there's a little bit on the video where the roach is clearly going, fuck this, and he's going for the edge of the table. He wants to leap off. And the guy with the iPhone's going, nope, and flicks him, and he pulls him back in.
I bet they don't supply cockroaches with the pack.
Free cockroach with every sale.
So have you bought into this, Jeff?
No.
No, funny enough. I've done some screwed up shit in my time, mate, but there's no way I'd buy into a Kickstarter project for cruelty to roaches, and I don't even like them. That's what Batwitch says.
Can I just play you the best bit from the video?
Yeah, of course. We could begin the neural revolution.
These kids are going to be the people that control the future.
Not just the cockroaches. Well, you control the cockroaches, you control the world, mate.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's a cockroach army. That's it. You control the cockroaches, you can take over the world. Forget about your Contagion movies and your James Bond, mate.
I tell you what, imagine if you had, I'll buy a Kickstarter in this and all your future products.
Mate.
Brilliant.
Jeff, that is a find. That is a real find.
I have a feeling you'd
like Zombie Cockroaches, says Batwitch. We'd have another title. Everyone's agreeing they hate them, but that is cruel.
No.
That's horrible.
Batwitch does point out that you have to catch the fast little suckers first.
Yeah, they are quite quick.
Yeah. Does it beat an RC car? Absolutely.
Well, I think we now have a challenge. We need to test that.
Pete in the chat room has been a little bit more sensible. Apparently, the electrical current tricks the bug's brain into thinking that there's a wall that it's about to walk into, so it makes it turn in the opposite direction.
So, you know, the last bash, we did the race around the garden on,
yes.
On bouncing things. I reckon there's a generation gap and kind of step we could make with this in terms of what the race could be this time.
You reckon we could get cockroaches, remote-controlled cockroaches, to come round?
Well, why not?
Remote-controlled cockroach racing.
Not remote-controlled cocks. Remote-controlled cockroaches.
That's what, yes. I said!
Well, almost.
Don't put cocks in my mouth. I mean, words in my mouth. Sorry, Jeff, go on.
No, I was just saying there might actually be a market for remote-controlled cocks as well.
I think there probably already is.
I think it's been fulfilled.
Yeah.
The sites I've been to, it's been fulfilled.
All right. Well, there you go. Clearly, I'm shopping at the wrong stores.
Have I told you about the single-use vibrator dispensing machine in Amsterdam?
No.
It was like a vending machine. You know, like when you put the you put your money in and then there's like a curly helix that sends it forwards and it drops down into the trough? There's one of those in Amsterdam that dispenses single-use vibrators. They come out and you use them once, and then that's it. You throw them away.
What were they like?
Okay, so like the batteries don't work anymore, or... Well, at that point, wouldn't it just be a dildo? You can still use it.
You could still use it, but it was a sealed unit. They were small as well. They were about that big, so they're not exactly...
I don't want to see that landfill.
Oh, man. Who hasn't had a story yet? Paul.
Me, okay.
I'm saving Steve for last, because...
But it might be a British thing, but obviously over the last few months, kind of Google have been trying to get a hold of kind of Android and kind of this skinning of the OS, and it's kind of... It's getting more stock Android as time goes on, as kind of... as carriers and manufacturers kind of get hold of it and realize that people want more of a kind of stock experience. But in the last few weeks, we've had, I'm based on a story that CNET put out, there's a £30 Android tablet coming out for schools in the UK. But last week we had the Tesco tablet, didn't we?
Mm.
And in the last few days, we had the Argos tablet.
I haven't heard about the Argos tablet. What's that?
Ah, the Argos tablet. It's the Argos MyTab, I believe. Let me just... I think I'll put a link in. But it's the Argos My... What is it? It is the... So Argos have released a £99 tablet. It's the My tablet.
Right.
But basically what I'm kind of thinking, where Android have kind of... Yeah, Google Android have kind of like got a hold of the kind of software side of it. It's kind of being bastardized in a way that the kind of hardware is going, because it's getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And our consumers are going to think that they kind of buy these tablets for £100. And from the reviews I've seen, they're not that fast, they're not that smooth. Is Android going to be damaged by, think, oh, it looks like an iPad, I'm going to buy it. And are they going to be pushed to Apple in the future because the experience isn't that good? But where Google have kind of won the war on the software, they're kind of losing the hardware war now, because every man and his mother's kind of putting it on hardware now.
Anne's upright. Who's had a go with an Android tablet?
I have not had good experiences with Android tablets.
I've had one go for 5 minutes with a Galaxy 7. I think it was about 2-3 years ago. But it wasn't good. All right, here we go. Paul's going to get... Paul's.
Well, I have got a Galaxy Tab 2 here.
All right.
And it is a piece of crap.
Right.
Absolute piece of crap.
Is it stuck on that screen?
No, it's it doesn't handle the... Because the hardware isn't brilliant. Samsung, I don't know how such a big company can kind of make something so bad. But the experience is so bad, because the experiences I've seen of the reviews of the Huddle from Tesco and the Android tablet is... It's all right for email and internet browsing, that sort of thing. And if that's all you want to do, then that's fine. But people want to play games, and you give it to your kids, and they're so tech savvy now, they're going to go and find new things to do, and they're going to be so disappointed.
Mm.
And I just think, like I say, Google have got almost a hold of the for the software market, because like the Huddle and I think like HTC Sense and those sort of things, they're almost stock Android with a few additions. So it's almost not such a jarring.
Well, the Huddle is. I mean, it's pure Jelly Bean, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost pure. So where they've almost got a hold of the software market, the hardware market is now out of their hands because this is free OS and Billy's got all stuff else to get on that. And I've had people come in this week going, there was an offer this week where they were doing the current Kindle HD cheap. And people were buying that. And it's Android, but it's not, if you know what I mean. So users are getting so confused, if you know what I mean.
Are we going back to Steve's point, though, earlier on? If all you want to do is tug on your angry bird, then who cares what the OS is that's driving that? You just want to tug on the angry bird.
Yeah, but when you get these sort of devices, you're going to, once you've tugged your angry bird and you're satisfied, you're going to do something else, aren't you?
I don't think I ever came up with the phrase, tug my angry bird.
No, that's your tagline.
I may have paraphrased. You said pulling on an angry bird.
Okay.
Which I think is worse, actually.
Yes. Is it?
Tugging the angry bird.
It's all in the technique.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure there's a Kickstarter project that probably does both.
Is that electronically tugging the bird, or is it?
Yeah.
Never mind. Few of us have had a go on an Android tablet. The ones that have, I've got to say, it was a long time ago, and it was a very slow and obnoxious experience. I remember having a go with the Google One when that came out, and that was an absolute dog of a phone.
I remember doing that.
Holy it hurt. Crap. That was disgusting. I'd rather have played with an electronic cockroach. But
the hardware's not getting any better, because Android is kind of where they're going for the real low end, and now you've got £99 tablets. It's not doing anything. I suspect most of them are going to be sent back.
Well, to be fair though, those tablets are running 1.5 gig Snapdragon processors, which aren't they're not negatively bad. They're fast dual core processors.
Yeah, but is it their tablets and their iPads, and people think that is an iPad? I think that's what people think. It's like that kind of MP3 player with an iPod, wasn't it? And I think that's where the confusion lies. But they're kind of in the loan market because you're buying your Rice Krispies and you're buying your tablet at the same time, aren't you? That's what they're doing.
Right.
But isn't the market exactly the same as probably 5 years, 6 years? Ignore the form that you're using. Isn't it the same as when we had netbooks and everyone was buying netbooks because they were cheap and they looked great, but when you got them home, they couldn't do much stuff. But they were happy with them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you did what you wanted, then you did what you wanted.
But where Android are kind of losing the battle, aren't they? Because it's so freely available. They've lost that control, haven't they? They've got the software control, but they've now lost the hardware control, haven't they? So their name, because it's an Android tablet, they're saying this is running Android 4.2 or whatever. That kind of reputation is being kind of, it's slow, it's juttery, it's not very good. So they're kind of losing again, aren't they?
Right. Yeah, I think Android is struggling in that sense. I mean, they've got deep penetration in the market, but in terms of user experience, they're definitely behind where iOS is and Windows 8, because Windows 8 is a very slick experience on the phone. But that's only a 1.5 Snapdragon processor as well.
It's the same problem that Windows has, isn't it? Because obviously Microsoft has to make Windows to run on any PC that any manufacturer kind of makes, you know, with drivers and everything. You know, at least Apple kind of make their software for their hardware, don't they? But obviously, Android has to kind of run on anything that anyone kind of dreams up.
Yeah, we're just going to restart the feed because apparently it's gone a bit choppy. So just hang on a sec. And that's the best joke I know. And that's it.
So that's what they're called?
Bajazzle, yeah.
Bajazzles, okay. Yeah.
Bajazzle.
Charu's just come back in on that one and I've just started recording. So there we go.
Is there an iOS controlled Bajazzle?
Bajazzle. No, Bajazzle was a crap computer game, wasn't it? It was kind of like...
Hey, you're thinking Bajilled, aren't you? Bajazzled is a different game.
Bajazzled is the adult version, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they've picked up on it now.
Could I have to bleep this or not?
I'm sure that there's an iPhone app so that you can control that.
We speak. Must be. If you can control your cockroach from left to right, you must be able to control
if you
your
can,
Bajazzle.
If you
go
could
left, go right, go left, go right, quick, quick, quick. Surely. What these kickstarting
pieces? The remote control Bajazzle.
Who wouldn't back a Bajazzle?
Kickstarter. No, I'd front it, not back it.
Does the Vajazzle involve disposable vibrators? They went back on that a minute ago, and they were going on about who the hell would want to work in the vibrator recycling plant.
Which is actually just the dildo packaging plant.
Why can't the vibrators use inductive charging?
Actually, probably there's quite a few people that would like to work in the recycling plant.
Oh, God, no. Moving on.
What is involved in vibrator recycling?
I'll take them to pieces, I guess, mate. I'm not. Oh. Steve, what?
White moth and clean bag.
Steve, what story have you got for us, mate?
So, this week, I was really excited about a new product that was announced.
Go on.
For three reasons, I think it was rubbish as an announcement. Nike announced the new FuelBand SE. Now, this is the band that you wear, and it monitors your movements and tells you the time, tells you how many points you've earned, and basically their new version, which is about a year on, year and a half on from the previous version, came in different colours. Yes, it did have Bluetooth 4. Yes, it was more water resistant than the previous type, but other than that, there wasn't much. Oh, if you press the button twice, you get the time, where previously it was a little bit more difficult to get the time, but it wasn't much of a kind of upgrade over previously. And this is where I can kind of see, are they doing this on purpose? Because they are quite linked to Apple, and they obviously don't want to kind of produce something which is going to steal a light from anything that Apple may be developing. I was a bit disappointed, really, because I think there's a huge... Well, I disagree. I think me and you have had a pub and chat in a pub about whether this is a big market. I think it is a big market with people, watches and people wearing electronic devices on their wrists that are a bit more than just telling you the time and etc. So overall, I was generally disappointed.
But I mean, the thing that gets me about this market, Steve, is that no one is making the connection with the data that they're gathering with other services, because you're signing over your rights to the data. So when you buy your application for your Fitbit or something like that, they hold your data. They've got your data. They know your IP. They know the computer you're linked to. They know where you've been. They know how far you've run. And someone somewhere has got to go, do you know, I reckon the average pair of running trainers for someone who's a serious runner, and you can tell whether that's true or not by the amount of running that they're doing. You're a serious runner, I'd say, Steve. How long before your trainers wear out? So if you would say probably your trainers, based on the amount that you run, would wear out in 3 months' time. So why is your social media stream not being flooded with adverts for trainers based on the data that's coming out of your Fitbit? That's where they're losing the market. That's where the market's huge.
Well, yeah, Nike get that. They get that. On the Nike Plus thing, they say, what trainers are you running in? Do you want to repair? Do you want to retire the trainers that you're just using? They get the link between how much you're doing and the trainers that you're having, but it's not live enough, really. It's not kind of interactive. It's not kind of... They don't have a GPS in there that monitors and tracks your actual pace. It's just how much you're moving rather than where you are, what your pace is. It's just disappointing.
Jeff, you got Fitbit, haven't you? You
do
a lot with your hiking.
Fitbit.
Is there any part of this that you think's not underdeveloped, underused?
You know, okay, so there's only so much you can really do effectively with a device that size, I think. And I think Fitbit has done a really good job of putting all the pieces together in a way that's easy to use and reliable. And I think it's more accurate than the wrist-based products like the FuelBand. The thing that I thought was really cool with Inks when they came out with the Pulse, which is their version of a Fitbit, it has a heart rate monitor built in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool, except you have to take this thing, hold it up to your finger, and so you get heart rate readings only when you remember to use it. So the place where I see the potential for more growth or improvement in this whole market is finding ways to automate gathering other biometric data about you, like being able to passively get your heart rate instead of you having to actively provide your heart rate, stuff like that. So whoever can figure that out and can keep the battery life up, I think that they'll end up with what turns out to be a really cool product.
Because really, battery life is the thing that's holding this all back, isn't it? Because everything else we know they can do, whether it's GPS, whether it's kind of pulse monitoring, we know we can do that, but it's just the battery life that's holding us back. So hopefully that improves enough so that it can produce a decent product or somebody.
How big an impact is that on you then, Steve? How big an impact is the way that you use this and the way that you run, etc.?
Well, I run with an iOS device because it tracks my GPS. It tells me my pace, talks to me every 250 meters about what my pace is, so I can know if I need to speed up and slow down. That's what I like. But the current bands aren't able to do that because they just haven't got the battery power. But then you've got these other the other watches, which I don't know a lot about, the proper Nike Plus watches that seem to tell you the pace, etc. But they're a bit too they're not kind of smart enough. I'm not interested in those at the moment.
Which app do you use, Steve?
Nike Plus, Nike Running Plus.
That's a really good app, isn't it?
Yes.
I like it.
That was a reserved yes, though.
It was.
I do feel there's better ones on there, Runkeeper, and there are better ones on the market. I think there are better ones on the market. The social bit of Nike Plus running, I think, is a little bit limited. Maybe I can't use it correctly, but I only think you can join people on Facebook, and not everyone is on Facebook, so that's a little bit of a limit. In fact, I might be wrong on that, but that's what I feel.
Okay, good. Do better is the moral of the tale. Excellent. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. It's their 15th birthday today. We've known them since they were 10-year-olds. They've been looking after us for 5 years now. We love them to bits. UK2.net. If you need anything for the net, you can't go to a better firm. They're a nice bunch of people. They really look after the customers. Their tech support's great. And we love them to bits. The prices are pretty good too. You get price discounts with us as well. So if you go to BritishTechNetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, there's a whole pile of offer codes there that you can use for UK2.net. So check them out because they're well worth it. They've been around a while. They've got a great data center. And it's a dentist center then. They've got a great data center that I shot a video at the other week for them. And they're a really good bunch. So please look after them because they look after us. Right then. It's time for the cool thing. Mr. Neighbor starts off.
Oh, come to me last.
Gaz starts off.
Okay.
Because you got the space.
Got the space, man. It's this picture, which, you know...
You did.
I did.
I rated that, mate. I did tell you, didn't I?
You did. And I'm not sure I can get it quite... because there's a delay in my video stream.
It's fine. Live. So
basically, it's obviously the Red Arrows was taken down in Falmouth a couple of years ago, and it's been sitting on my computer for a while. Finally decided to... get it put onto canvas. And as far as I'm concerned, that's my cool thing because I think it's a great shot. It's the light in here obviously doesn't do it any justice. But you rated it and you say it was really good. And I thank you for that because it was only an alpha 100 with a 200mm lens.
Yeah, but I think you can get a bit anal about getting too close with stuff. I mean, if you look at things, particularly things like sports stadiums, Twickenham, some of the great shots at Twickenham are actually where you've got the throng and you can see the atmosphere of the crowd, and the person that scored the try is fairly minimal in the scene.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. And the background on the crowds, the clouds there. Did you touch that much to get the moodiness of the clouds to lift in the background, or was that
not too much? No, they're not too much. The clouds were that they had that much contrast in them, which just made taking the pictures that much easier.
Brilliant. If you haven't seen it, Gaz put a link in the chat room for us and send it off. But you posted it on Google Plus, didn't you? On the one of the photo community.
So
who did you use to? Because how big is that? And who did you use to produce that?
The odd thing is obviously it's a bit of an odd shape, and I wanted to keep the fact that the smoke was obviously on one side. So it's a 20-inch by 40-inch baby.
Is it custom then? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. They came back to me with a couple of different sizes from their standard canvases, and I said, nah, it doesn't quite do it for me. It's not quite right. You know, the top plane was seeping over the edge, and there was too much of the trail cloud going over the edge. And I said, it's not quite right. She said, well, we can do a 20 by 40. And she sent the image back to me, and I said, that looks spot on. And yeah, I had that done. And it's from a small local company here in Northampton, cherishedforever.com or .co.uk.
Yeah, I think if you want standard sizes, there's an awful lot that's very good online, but if you want something custom, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, and they were very good at, you know, coming back with, you know, different sizes and showing the image and showing how it'd look, and I thought, I'm going to go for that.
So. What's the frame made of?
It's, definitely wood.
Do you know, Gaz, the irony is the only reason that your screen is turning very yellow when you're near it is your shirt.
Is it?
Yeah, when
it,
you lean black, when you lean back, everything goes bluer.
Well, that's odd then, isn't it?
No, it's your camera automatically adjusting.
Oh, yeah. I haven't got that up yet. It's a decent piece of wood. I couldn't tell you what sort of wood, but it's not fine.
No, we should be spruce. That's what you really want, because it's strong and light.
Yeah, well, it is very light. It is very light.
Yeah. So, don't go for MDF. Who's making your thing and ask them what wood it comes back on. For the light woods.
I will do. It's not MDF. It's definitely not MDF.
No. Good picture, mate. I enjoyed that. I thought it was wonderful. There's a point from Batwinch in the chat room. Have you thought of getting in touch with the RAF? Because they'll probably look at selling it for you. And they certainly, if you sent them a version of it for Scampton, they'd display it.
I haven't thought of that, so that's something I could do. Lovely.
Good point. Excellent. Good one. Well done. Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
All right. So I oftentimes offer up ideas that end up costing you money. So I originally came up with an idea for something that wouldn't cost you money, but would entertain you, and then realized I'm going to end up costing you money anyhow. So you get a two-part cool thing found for me. The first part is the part that costs you money. There are two story arcs from Doctor Who that have been recovered, and they're available digitally through the iTunes store right now. So they would be Patrick Troughton stories, The Enemy of the World and Web of Fear. And you can pick each of them, the entire series up, or the entire story arc up for each, for $10 in the United States. And considering the value of the dollar, it's probably like £3 for you guys. They're both stories that were presumed lost forever. And now, for the first time since they were originally aired, what, like 45 years ago, you can watch the complete story arcs. So that's really cool.
Excellent.
And now for the thing that won't cost you money. This, I have a video for everyone, and I'm assuming, considering how cool our watchers are, everyone's already seen this. But the badly read lip syncing people, they did a video which is a parody on a medieval theme park opening as a movie. And it's all done with footage from Game of Thrones. And it is just brilliantly funny.
What's the video called?
The video is, hold on, I have it over here. Medieval Land Funtime World Extended Trailer.
Excellent.
And it is just, I think it's actually the best badly read lip syncing video they've ever made. It's just fantastic.
I saw the Doctor Who stuff the other week when they said they'd found it. It looked pretty cool. It looked cool. $15.
It's actually really cool. I've of course, I immediately bought both story arcs, and I've had time to watch most of The Enemy of the World, and it's really cool to get to see Patrick Troughton playing someone other than the Doctor, and he's playing two characters in the same story arc.
Is he with William Hartnell? The pair of them are together.
This story, I think, was before they did the team up where they had William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton in the same episode. So, but in this one, Patrick Troughton plays the Doctor, and then he also plays the bad guy from the same story.
Right. Okay, cool. Good pick,
mate. It's really cool.
Righty, what have you got for us, mate?
It's something I reviewed on the site earlier this week. It's an iOS app. It's called Scene, which is S-E-E-N-E. It's a 3D modeling app. It's a free app. Basically, all you do is you kind of raise your iPhone to something that you know when you see making of movies and there's chaps with like ping pong balls all over their bodies and they map them to do kind of CGI. This app, basically, you point your iPhone at the app of what you want to film, and it puts dots all around it, but little green dots all around it. Basically, all you do is you move your iPhone left, right, up, and down, and basically, in real time, it actually creates a proper 3D model of what you've just filmed.
Right.
And it's a completely free app.
They do a turntable as well for it, don't they?
Yeah. And it's absolutely brilliant. I picked it up online the other day. You probably can't see it. I don't know. It's probably really bad on there. You can see it there. Taking a picture of a toy there. Move the phone,
Need to just tap the phone there. That went dim, but that worked otherwise.
If I move up and down, left and right, you can see the 3D model.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's absolutely free. And basically, you can take like anything. You've got to be in decent light. You've got to be kind of, basically, it puts these green dots around everything. But once you've got kind of like a multitude of dots, you can like take a human face or anything that you've got in good light. And literally within like 2 or 3 seconds, it creates a 3D model. And as you move your phone around, it does it in 3D. But also you can then share it on Twitter, Facebook. I think it's HTML5. So you can then share it online within your browser. You move your mouse to move around, but it just shows kind of the power. It's iOS only at the moment, but just shows the power of what iOS can do, what the camera can do. But absolutely brilliant app.
Yeah, no, I think that's really quality. I say they do a turntable that you can mount your iPhone on, and it turns something at specific rates so that the app will capture it.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Yes. Now I've got an iPhone 5, I can do that as well, can't I? Yeah.
Yep.
But it's absolutely seamless. It's probably the most seamless kind of camera trickery app I've seen on an iPhone to date. So absolutely amazing. So
brilliant. Paul Wheatley had one as well that was good, where the vibration turned the iPhone to make panoramas.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool as well. There's some great stuff out there at the moment. I thought Adam came on the Mac from the Maccast came on the Mac show today, and he picked someone has discovered that if you turn the cover for the iPhone 5C around with the holes, he's made an application that means you can play Kinect 4 with the holes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Fantastic. What a great idea. And he said he thinks now what is going to happen is there's going to be a complete leap of people creating masks that you put over your iPhone to play specific games.
Yeah.
Bab the Gopher and all that kind of stuff, perhaps. That's good one. Cool. It was very good, very good. Stevie boy, what have you got for us?
I'll tell you what my pick is not. My pick is not Toyota cars, particularly the Kuramas, Zentas,
and the Avalons. Please don't get us sued.
No, according to CNET, they have recalled 870,000 Toyotas are being recalled because if spiders get inside and weave a web, passengers might face the interesting pattern imprinted on their faces when the airbag suddenly deploys for no apparent reason. So I'm not going to pick a Toyota. I'm going
to
pick...
So they have to debug the cars.
Debug. Very good.
I'm going to pick something that blew me away at EL Mug the other night, which actually you might see as a bit basic and you know about this already, but I didn't, so I'm going to repeat it in case anyone else doesn't know it. The iPhone can monitor your heart rate just by sticking your finger on the camera, and Instant Heart Rate app does that for you, and I didn't know it can do that, and it blew me away. Basically, it takes about 15 seconds. Just put your finger over the... It's free for this app. You put your finger over the camera, and it tells you your heart rate. It also works on the iPad as well. On the iPhone, your little light comes on to help the sensing, but the iPad works as well, even though it hasn't got a little flash thing. And, yeah, it's a good app. It blew me away the other night. I didn't know it could do that.
That's amazing.
It is.
Do you know how that works?
Tell me. Is it okay? I guess it merges the color in terms of blood and redness and et cetera, et cetera. Is that right, Jeff?
That's not too far off. What it's doing is it's measuring the opacity for your skin, because as your heart rate increases and your blood pressure goes up, you're pushing more blood through the area, less light is passing through, and so it's reading the opacity through the skin and the light that's reflecting back up through. That's why it uses the flashlight on the iPhone, so that it can actually send light into your skin and get a better reading. If you look at a lot of the portable heart rate monitors, that's exactly how they're working. You'll see like two little tiny green LEDs, and they're sending light beams in at angles into your skin, and then it measures the light as it bounces back up into the sensor, and now, it's surprisingly accurate.
No, well, I used this on the iPhone 4S, and it switched the flash on, the LED on, while it was doing it, so it could see through your skin. But the iPhone 5S, the LED, the light is away from the camera, so how does it do it now? Is it just improved light, or... Because the LED is further away from the camera, isn't it?
Oh, you're right, it is. So, well, I'll have to download the app and try it out.
It's true, though, because I was trying it on 5S, and it was... The light is still separate to the actual camera. It just helps with the...
The 4S, you had to cover the light and the camera with your finger,
right,
to get correct. It to work, so... Bowen in the chat room is a little bit less convinced. She says, bullshite, that's how it works. She's obviously been... She had sherry earlier on. She drank a bottle of sherry during the Mac show with Angela, so...
And it's she's on whiskey now.
Yeah, a whiskey she likes, apparently, as well. Talisker, and it's disgusting. I hate Talisker. I hate all that Langevula and all that lot. I can't stand the peaty stuff. God,
I like it.
Oh, no. Okay, you can keep it. I won't be taking it off you. If I get a bottle given to me, mate, it's yours. I promise.
All right.
I picked iDraw during the Mac show, and it's absolutely bloody brilliant. But something else that's out today is Prodrenaline. Now, we did a review, if you look on the reviews column, of Macali. And Macali was an application that was used to stabilise footage. It was from prodad.com. They did a Prodrenaline for Windows, but not for Mac. And Prodrenaline did curvature removal, so fisheye removal on your GoPro, and it also did image stabilization. It was $29. They brought a version out today for the Mac as well, and it virtualizes, unfortunately, rather than running natively in Mac. But it does as good a job, providing you've got a high enough spec Mac, it runs just fine. It only runs in 32-bit, so you can't use it for 4K video or 2.5 video. But it runs fine on 1080p, and I downloaded the demo and had a play this afternoon, and it does a very good job. Does a very, very good job, and it's $29. Very, very good. From prodad.com, Prodrenaline. They're very good. Where can we get a hold of you, Stevie Boy?
On Tuesday, you can get a hold of me hosting the London Mac User Group keynote for the Apple event. We've got keynote bingo. We're currently working out what words to include in the keynote bingo. And the keynote bingo is getting more popular, actually, every time we do these events. We've got a raffle prize, either a time capsule or a 500 gigabyte SSD. All of this happens at 6 o'clock onwards. We have our own bar. We have two full screens showing the Apple keynotes or best news as we can do it at 6 o'clock on Tuesday at the Old Explorer Pub in Oxford Circus, right in the centre of London. So come and join us, or Steve Neighbour on Twitter.
Now, we got a question from Batwench who wanted to know if you would do nationwide membership of Elmug. And I said, yes, you would. You can have country members. Of course you would. You still get the newsletter, don't you, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, of course you would. We do a newsletter, we do lots of things. So yes, of course we would.
So if you boost, she says, if you boost the membership by doing nationwide membership, then you could boost the Wi-Fi as well, maybe.
We are looking at 4G is probably the best way of putting 30 megabytes Wi-Fi into that pub, and that's probably the best way forward.
Brilliant. That'd be good. Really good. We'll do exposure as soon as we get that, no question. I've got to say, mate, of all of the keynotes that have come in the last sort of 2 years, I'm more excited about Tuesday than I've been for any other keynote.
Are you going to buy a MacBook Pro tomorrow, mate?
No.
Sure.
I will not.
You know, you want to.
I will not be buying a MacBook Pro until probably Wednesday or Thursday when they go up in the store, if they change. And I'm still. I got told by Greeny I was a dinosaur as well today for wanting a Mac Pro with an external screen and carrying that around. And he said, "Why do you want to lug that around?" I said, "Well, would he lug a big bag around? It's no big deal."
He's just jealous.
He is. Yeah, he's jealous.
He's winding you up. He loves it.
Definitely. I dissed the Apple keynotes because they haven't really thrilled me. I don't think they've done a great keynote for a while, and I am super excited about Tuesday. If it turns out that it's just a Retina display on the iPad Mini and a new iPad 5C, I'll be spitting.
I think they're going to stream it because the last time when they did it from that location, they did. Do you think, Jeff, or not? Is it going to be a live stream?
I'm thinking maybe there will be a live stream. Either way, we'll have Dave Hamilton on location, so we'll be able to get information out in real time. But I'm kind of hoping they do a live stream again.
They really missed a trick last time with that. They set the bar and then they dropped the bar.
Well, we'll be following you guys if there's no live stream, and we'll be having just as much fun debating the news as it happens.
Good. It's a great fun time. Awesome. If you can, get yourself down to the Old Explorer Pub just off Oxford Circus. £5 for non-member, Steve?
Yeah, £5 non-members. If you're a member, then you get in for free.
But you do 4 keynotes a year, pretty much, events, and that's £20. And to join Elmug's only 15, isn't it?
Yep, and you get free food at the Christmas party as well, which is also a pub quiz based on London and Apple questions as well, thrown in and if you become a member.
You also get free photo walks.
Free photo walks, and we want to do one at the beginning of November as well, but we're just working on dates of that one. I don't know who we're going to use to help us with that one, Ewan, but we'll see.
No idea. Well, I think you should do a family event, because then I can drag the wife and kids down, otherwise I've got no chance because I'm on a course for rugby the following day.
No, we'll do that on the Saturday. That'll be good.
Do it on the Saturday, because on Sunday I'm out anyway, so the wife will kill me if I do 2 days running. It'll be a pain.
Okay.
Thanks, mate. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I'm hanging out at MacObserver.com and on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamut, and I do, well, this show and the comic show here, and sometimes the Mac show. And I also do Apple Context Machine, and we have communicators. I do a lot of shows, actually.
We are desperately unfair with you when it comes to the Mac show, mate, because that's the one show you should be on based on who you are. And we only ever call you up at the last minute when we're struggling. Because
and sometimes I have my hair combed on the show.
Sometimes not. But not today. Yeah.
Nope, I didn't today. And but I do now, so there's that. Oh, Fresh Brew Tales. Everyone should go there and see all the ridiculous stuff.
There's some gems on that.
In coffee shops.
Absolute gems. I've looked at pictures of Linda Carter, by the way. It's a bit Marmite, I have to say. There's a good one, there's a bad one. There's a good one, there's a bad one. So
I'd give her away the original.
Oh, there's some gorgeous ones from the 70s, but she's still a very pretty woman. I'm sure in the flesh she's wonderful. Where are you, Gaz, with your picture in the background?
Dead easy, gazmaz.com, gazmaz on Twitter. been in app.net for a while, but I don't tend to go in there so much. But yeah, go Gazmaz. We've got Wind. Can I hear Wind? MyMac.com. For Mac Eyes Only next week, we'll be doing a reaction time to the keynote. We've been doing them since 2008, so we'll be doing one next week as well.
App.net, you stand there for ages, no one comes past, then Pete, yes. Windrider, comes along, swears at you, and you remember why he's there on his own.
Yeah.
Love you, Pete.
Yeah.
Where are you, Paulum?
On Twitter at Paulums, and hang out a bit more this week as I should be at Britset Network doing the old reviews.
Good man, good man. I'll try and get some more stuff. I'm going to do me Binatone review.
Oh, please, I want to see that.
It's actually pretty good. I didn't realise that they do a home version as well, which is a deck phone.
Oh, we really want that, don't we?
Yeah, we do. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, britishtechnetwork.com. And we'll be back next week for sure. We've got the media show, don't forget, and the gamer show and all the others and the VIP show, so check them out. Give us some reviews in iTunes as well. We'll go back to reading the reviews next week. We've missed it for the last couple of weeks because it's all been a bit frenetic. But read the reviews and we'll have a wonderful time. We'll be back again with the big show next Friday. It'll be Friday, not Thursday, if that's okay for everyone, because I've got to work Thursday. See you Friday. Thanks for listening.